has everything set up and the equipment. And so I know he's taking the time to prepare himself, and I would ask now that you would give him your careful, considerate, and prayerful attention as this evening our brother Tommy Gill gives his presentation. I'm not sure what it's going to entail, but I'm very eager to hear it.
Well, I'm happy to be here this evening. Brother Jay gave me this idea to set up this slideshow, and I presented it at the ministers' conference, and have been asked to present it here. And I believe Darren's presenting it there in Independence for the members there in Independence. Before I go on, I want you to look around this room and tell me what is the most important thing here in this room today. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? It was to save the little ones. They are the most important thing. Why? Because they are the future. And without them, there is no future. So therefore, thinking about that, we're going to go through this presentation. These are the questions I hope to answer. Number one is, why did we start school in Honduras? Not on. Well, technicalities. Actually, I think it's my print monitor. Okay. We'll get there. All right. So, question number one is, why did we start the school in Honduras? Question number two, how does the school operate? I won't go very in-depth in that, but I'll give a simple layout of how it operates. Number three, what are the benefits that are gleaned from the school? You can only tell how good a tree is by how good the fruit is, right? And number four, what does the future hold? So why did we start the school in Honduras? In the beginning, man walked with God in the Garden of Eden in a perfect world. And this should be our ultimate goal, to return to that state of coexisting with God in the millennial reign, and in the new earth. So which came first, the chicken or the egg? Same goes with this question. Which came first, the society which governs our education, or the education which defines the society? In essence, all the education that your children learn is what will be the future, the society of the future. But what do those children learn? They learn what the society teaches. So which came first? Good question. What is education? Education, I think, is the passing of information from one generation to the next. In other words, the passing of the essence of life from one life to another life. Education, then, is life. When we pass on how to live life to our children, we are giving them education. And it doesn't matter whether you pass on a lot or a little, you are passing on life. Because without that education, they would die. Famous preacher once said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What happens when society breaks down or walks away from God? In the United States, the first government public school laws required the ability to read the Bible for citizenship. The first schools were held in churches. The first textbook was the Bible. After several generations, new people who immigrated here to experience the values and the beauty of this new land and all its economic prosperity brought their own idolatry and their own forms of worship. The immigration reduced the quality and the character of the nation, and there was decline. By the 1900s, of course, the humanist revolution came into Eastern Europe and brought with it the destruction of biblical principles and the elimination of the influence of the Bible and God on culture, shut down churches, influenced education in the West, and brought on what we call modern education. By World War II, educators began taking the Bible and these values out of the education process, and that began the decline of the West. In our nation's schools, they've been teaching through modern education that religion is superstition, and the Bible is superstition, and God is superstition. The Bible warns us, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We all have witnessed the spiritual decline of the educational system. For example, education being based on the truth, which is within the Word of God, being changed to being based on reasoning. Talked about that in the Sunday school this morning. Number two, pastors doing the teaching, changing to intellectuals, scientists, educated people. Number three, teaching Christianity, being changed to teaching about rights. The rights that you have. Well, in my Bible, I don't find any rights in there. The entire book is filled with responsibilities. There are no rights. Teaching creation, changing to teaching evolution. I just clicked the wrong button. Okay. These are just some of the examples of the spiritual decline. What about academics? I would like to share some examples of the educational systems, both in Honduras and here in the U.S. These are two quotes taken from newspapers in Honduras. "We are 100 years behind Panama and Costa Rica, not even comparing ourselves with countries like Canada, United States, or Japan." That was a quote from the coordinator of the educational network in Honduras. "In the last 3 years, schools have only fulfilled 50% of the established Honduran school calendar." Here in the U.S., this was taken from a report done by the NAS, the National Association of Scholars. "When given a test covering four areas of general knowledge, American college seniors score at about the same overall level as did high school graduates of 50 years ago. Today, seniors do better on questions pertaining to literature, music, and science, about the same on questions about geography, and worse on questions dealing with history. Their personal interests in high culture, measured by questions about their favorite authors and classical music, also seems little different than that of the public at large 50 years ago. By almost every measure of cultural knowledge in our survey, today's college student seniors, a appear to rank far below the college graduates of mid-century? These are quotes from USA Today. A great number of students coming from dysfunctional families were undisciplined and had no respect for authority and little interest in learning. Decorum in the classroom virtually has vanished. The old expression of one rotten apple spoiling a barrel full was forgotten. Teachers have taken on the task of teaching manners, values, and ethics under the rubric of moral education, yet must teach diversity and tolerance for opposing views on each. This is one of our students in our school there in Honduras. He's been in our school for 3 years now. Most of the letters I took, I wrote them as they wrote them, just to give you an idea of their English. My name is Genaro Eli Garcia. In the public school, I was a good student to study, but I have a lot of problems with the teacher sometimes. I did not obey my teacher, and I did bad things like fight with the students or disobey my teacher. But when I came to this school, I changed a lot of things, like obey the teacher and to be good with the students. Sometimes I do wrong things, but my teachers show me how to do right and to forgive one to another. I asked him to write this letter because he's one of the students that transferred from the public school to ours. And I asked him to write it to give us an idea of the changes that have happened in his life. Society, which has walked away from God, governs education and trains our children in a path that leads away from God. Therefore, what should we do so that our children may come closer to that ultimate goal of coexisting with God? This is the question we posed in Honduras when examining the options for training our children. There's a letter from my sister-in-law, Joni Gill. When we moved to Honduras, we had three small children. I had always planned to homeschool and brought along some materials for that purpose. Brethren in the church also gave me more materials to work with. So when Cameron and Sasha were old enough, I began to teach them. We struggled along for a few years, working with what we had, and the kids began to learn the basics. In time, our family grew in size, and I also began schooling Natasha. With four small children, keeping house in a country which lacked modern conveniences and frequent interruptions as people dropped by at all hours of the day, school did not progress as well as I would have liked. In 2003, I was offered a job teaching at a private bilingual school in Don Lee. I would make a little over $150 a month and also be able to enroll the kids in one of the top schools in the area. I considered this to be a good opportunity for my kids to learn to read and write in Spanish as well as to continue their studies in English. Thus began one of the most trialsome years of my life. Every morning, Monday through Friday, I had to wake up at 4 a.m. and get four kids and a lunch ready in time to catch the 5:30 bus to Don Lee. I taught English curriculum to first and second graders and was therefore able to continue to teach Sasha and Natasha while Cameron was in third grade and Conrad attended preschool. The school used old U.S. textbooks, yet few of the students knew enough English to understand materials at their own grade level. I and the other English teachers found it necessary to formulate our own curriculum, using the textbooks as rough guides. I was often discouraged with my limitations. I just felt like I did not have the capacity to write curriculum, teach school, and manage my own household. Transportation alone consumed approximately 4 hours of every day, plus I was expecting another baby. By the end of the school year, I knew that I would not return to teaching at the Children's World School. The following year, I had also nearly reached the end of my own curriculum and knew that I needed something more to work with so that my kids could continue their education. I began to pray in earnest for a school curriculum I could use. Every time I prayed, I was very specific in what I was looking for. It must be Christian. It must be self-explanatory and would allow the kids to study on their own with me supervising their learning. It must be something I could get here in Honduras. I knew I was being very particular, but I was asking for what we really needed. About this time, a fellow teacher friend of mine dropped by the house to visit. She told me about a new bilingual school that had just opened in Don Lee. She was very impressed with the setup. So I asked her what curriculum they use. She wasn't sure, but gave me the directions to the new school. Ronnie and I dropped by for a visit. What we saw was absolutely amazing. The students studied on their own, in their own little cubicle. They advanced at their own pace. Supervisors were on hand to explain anything they did not understand. And because there were so many schools in Honduras using the School of Tomorrow curriculum, we would be able to get the materials without any problem. They also offered Spanish. This was exactly everything I had been praying for and more. We borrowed a catalog and discussed everything with Nana. She was also planning on homeschooling her adopted boys, so the idea of working together seemed logical. So Nana and Ronnie contacted the head office in Tegucigalpa. Before long, they had signed up for supervisor training classes and became qualified to run the school. At this point, we had to step out in faith. We knew we wanted this for our own kids, but we had brothers and sisters in the church who wanted more for their children than the public school system offered. I don't know how Nana managed it, but she set up a couple of classrooms in her house and allowed several other students to enroll and began teaching them English. I basically stepped back at this point and stayed home to care for Colin while Nana supervised the school. It's been 7 years since the Lord answered my prayer and opened the door and made it possible to open a Christ-centered school, which not only benefits my own kids, but many others as well. I am deeply grateful to him and to all who assist in this work. Joni Gill. This is a letter I wrote of my experience at the beginning. While examining the options we had and looking into options for homeschooling, my brother, Ronnie Gill, and his wife came across this curriculum called ACE, Accelerated Christian Education. He found out that there was a distributor in Honduras. Ronnie and my mother went to the main office in Tegucigalpa and participated in the training sessions. Afterward, they started a small class in my mother's house. When I saw how the system operated, I was impressed, as were they. After much prayer, the Lord showed me this is where I was to place my efforts. Talking with Ronnie and my parents, we decided we would try and make this school prosperous for our children. The Lord again gave me wisdom in that we should incorporate some of the Honduran school traditions into ours. One of these traditions is a school emblem. Thus was born ours. This is our school emblem. And the Lord gave this to me in a dream, and my mother drew it out. And I believe it has great significance for us. The flower is a lily of the valley. And I believe it signifies the righteousness of Zion, or the people. The dove up above, of course, signifies the Holy Spirit. The mount of Zion. The tree of life on the other side. And, of course, the Lamb of God in the center. Therefore, this is the emblem of our school. Number two, how does the school operate? We start every morning with our pledges, first to the national flag as required by Honduran law. I will translate for you. I promise to honor the Honduran flag. Sorry, not honor. Be faithful to the Honduran flag, symbol of unity, justice, liberty, and peace. Calling upon the protection of God and the example of our forefathers. I promise to honor my country, to serve it and defend it with one purpose, which is the benefit of all. Secondly, we say our pledge to the Lamb. This is a school thing that I created to help unify the students in one thought. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb and to the kingdom for which he stands. I pledge to suffer long and be kind, to not envy or be puffed up. I pledge to vaunteth not myself, to not behave unseemly, to not be easily provoked. I pledge to seek not my own, but the will of my Father in heaven. I pledge to not think evil, to not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. I pledge to bear, to believe, to hope, and to endure all things. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, that we may be one people, united in faith, hope, and most of all charity, seeking the salvation of all mankind. After the pledges, we then have a devotional period. We sing a song, we read a scripture passage, which students are encouraged to memorize. We have a prayer led by a student. Then, if needed, we have a short pep talk, or visiting ministry, when present, are given time for a quick lesson. The students are then sent to their offices or working space to proceed with their goals for the day. Students learn to set goals for themselves with guidance so that when they get to their offices, they already know from the previous day's goals setting time what they are responsible to complete today. Thus, the student learns to plan the following day, week, quarter, and year, giving the student better ability at setting life goals. We have a prayer. We teach the students to pray for help in their tests by praying with them. Thus, the student learns to trust God when the tests of life come. The students learn to check their work with what it should be and to make corrections when necessary. This teaches the student in life one must watch carefully and correct oneself when needed. Oversight from trained supervisors and visiting missionaries, especially their wives, helps to teach the students to be communicative and interact with a variety of people in different situations. Each subject is divided into 12 paces. A pace is a packet of accelerated Christian education per grade level. Each pace consists of 15 to 47 pages, depending on grade level, difficulty of material and subject, like math, English, etc. I will discuss a little how the paces work, what is required throughout a pace by the student and supervisor. This is a demonstration of one of the paces. At the beginning of the year, students are given one in each subject according to where they left off the previous year, so no material is missed or skipped over. The student's name is written on the outside so that it is not misplaced in another office. Of course, that would never happen. The date the pace was issued to the student is written on the cover. That's so if it isn't handed in for 3 weeks, you know there's a problem. There is also a place to write the pace test final score. I will go through a little of this pace to familiarize you with the procedures. This is the first two pages. Up here in the left top-hand corner is a list of the goals that the student will learn in this pace. There are certain things that he knows ahead of time. This is the goals in which I have to fulfill in this pace. Helps him to visualize it, keep it in his mind, or her. In the center, we have a little scripture verse. And they must memorize this verse. It gets larger depending on the grade level. This particular one you're looking at is a second grade. Up in the other top corner there is always a song or a poem which talks about the scripture verse to help them to understand, to visualize that scripture verse better. And down here at the bottom, we have a cartoon illustration example of the scripture verse. So right there on the front page, they have three ways they're memorizing that scripture. At the bottom, they have to get permission from the supervisor, signature, to continue in the pace. So pretty much that entire front page, they have to read to a supervisor aloud, which gives them auditory. On the other side is a student score strip. There's many of these throughout the pace. And what it is the student, when they finish those previous pages, they ask permission to go up and score. They go up and score it, like I showed in the previous picture, the two girls scoring. And then if they get any wrong, they mark them wrong. They come back to their desk. They re-score them, correct them, and then go up and re-score. And it helps the supervisor to see that they're doing everything correctly throughout the book. Throughout the pace, students are given tasks to accomplish, which require supervisor signing to allow the student to continue. This teaches the student to respect rules and those who are given power over us. Illustrations at lower levels help the students to visualize the moral and spiritual lessons found in each pace. 3 to 4 checkups are found in each pace to determine the amount of information the student is learning at each checkup. At each checkup, the student must ask permission to do the checkup. At this point, the supervisor looks over the previous pages to make sure all signatures and scoring have been accomplished. After gaining permission to do the checkup, the student completes and scores it. Then the student must ask to go beyond the checkup. At this point, if the supervisor sees a learning deficiency, the supervisor may tell the student to restudy the previous section. The supervisor can then vocally quiz the student until the supervisor is confident the student knows the material. At the end of each pace is a self-test. The student may ask permission the day after finishing the pace, including extra activities, to work in the self-test. The self-test examines all aspects of the pace. The student must score 90% or better to continue. If the student does not score 90%, the supervisor may require the student to reread sections of the pace or work with extra activities to help the student learn the required information so that the student may pass the self-test. Part of the self-test is that the student must know by memory the scripture passage. After successfully passing the self-test, the student hands in the pace. The following day, the student is brought to the testing table with only pencil and eraser to complete the pace test. The student must receive a minimum score of 80% in the pace test or must be assigned a new pace of the same number. Again, part of the pace test is the memorization of the scripture passage. If the student passes the pace test, he or she is given the following number in that subject. The final score is recorded and the pace is archived. Number 3, what benefits are gleaned from the school? Benefits are hard to measure, except by opinion and witness. So I will give you my opinion, then show some opinions of others. In December of 1999, I moved to Honduras to be wed. The previous 4 years, I had helped care for my grandparents, Thomas and Ruth Maley, in Minnesota. After a few years of living in Honduras, I could see a spiritual problem. In my opinion, this problem was based in the Pentecostal teachings. This problem is the lack of involvement. Most people wanted to be led, but did not want to participate. This put great strain on my father and Ronnie as spiritual leaders. I prayed about this, as I know they did. The answer I received surprised me, and I could not understand it at the time. Of course, hindsight is 20/20. The next generation is what I was shown. That I would teach and help the next generation to rise up, and that they would help take the reins. 7 years ago, when I told this to my parents, they were a little upset, as though I was giving up on the future of the present adults. But that was not the case, only that I was told to place the energy I had at the time into teaching the youth what I could so that they would become that help. Well, to make a long story short, this last December, 4 of the oldest students accepted responsibility in the church local here in Zamorano, one of which has two responsibilities. As pastor of two locals in Honduras, I am blessed greatly with many helpers in both locals. I praise the Lord weekly for their help, for I know my father and brother had much harder years with little help. This is one of the boys that my parents adopted. I asked him to write a short letter about how he thinks the school has helped his future. This is what he wrote. Hello, my name is Jacob. I am 11 years old. I am in 6th grade, going to 7th. My teacher asked me to answer this question. How do you think the school will help your future? I think the school will help me by believing in Jesus, following Jesus, teaching others about Jesus. And the school will help me by being a good, faithful steward of Christ and by helping me be intelligent, smart, and helpful to other people. Beautiful goals, in my opinion. This is a letter written by the mother of the first child we looked at. I am thankful for our God that we have a Church of Christ school. My children are learning well. I like that the material is based on the Word of God. My son, Eli, the previous boy, is obedient. And he says, if he had stayed in the public school, he would be different and would have bad habits. Thanks be to God, he is learning to respect and forgive. This will be good for his life. I give thanks to the teachers. I give thanks to all who have helped spiritually and economically. May God bless all. Leda Garcia. It's one of our other older students. First of all, I am so thankful to God and to the people who are willing to help us in the school. Our school is not the fanciest school in Honduras, but for sure I can say that it is the best of all. Here in the Church of Christ School, we don't only learn to read two languages and get an education, but we learn to be wise and responsible for our work. What can this school do for my future? Well, there are so many things that this school can do for my future, which things are not easy to explain when it comes to writing on paper. But of one thing I am sure, this school might not take me to be rich in material things of this world, but I know it will take me to be rich spiritually. Every time I am doing my schoolwork, I think and ask in my heart, what would you have me do? What would you have for me to do in this world when I am done with school? Would I get to be a professional like other people? But I'm happy knowing that I got an education which would help me act how God wants me to act, in order to be a good example to others. It also comforts me to know that I'm able to read the Bible and Book of Mormon perfectly well to teach others. What the school can do for your future is not the point, but what can you learn at school to do for your country to become righteous before God? I can learn to live my life good before God, to be a good example to those who don't have the opportunity to attend a Christian school like I do. Maybe I can be a good wife and mother, teaching my family the things I have learned in this wonderful school that God have given us. Having a good education is important for someone's future. It helps you learn to work. Not all of the schools at this time teach you to love God or that God is the principal thing in your life. But I am blessed attending a Christian school that would do much for my life. This was one of our very first students. She now helps as one of the teachers in the school. My name is Dulce M. Carbajal. I started working as a monitor in the school, and then I became a supervisor for first and second grade. This experience is amazing. This school is one of the most wonderful schools because it teaches the students the most important things about God, because as everyone knows, our life and in everything we do. And I know that God gave me this job because I feel so happy to be part of this. And more than happy, I feel a great joy in my heart. When I go to the school every morning and the students come and give me a hug and says to me, I love you. Or when they write me a note telling me I am sorry because of my behavior. I then realize that they are learning to be kind, wise, humble, and the most important thing, to have the love of Christ. This school doesn't just teach the students, but teaches us to be more careful when we act. It teaches me a lot about how to save these little students. You can learn with them and from them. You know, sometimes they have disagreements like everybody else, but a few minutes later they ask permission to apologize to their friend. Or sometimes they just draw a beautiful picture and write something that says, "I am sorry and I love you so much." I am so thankful to God for this experience, and I am so grateful to each of you for making this possible, because I know God is using you to do this. And you know, I feel that I become a good servant because of Him, and I know that without Him, I can do nothing of this. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Your sister in Christ, Dulce Carvajal. What does the future hold? And that question I have a hard time answering. I do know this. A small tree, if you plant and you allow the wind to blow it over, it'll always grow crooked. It'll never be straight. Growing crooked will affect the height at which it can reach. It'll affect the fruit in which it'll bear. It'll affect its lifespan and everything about it. Do we want that for our children? That's the question. Do you have any questions? Yes, we do, to an extent.
What was the question?
If we teach music and Phi Ed, physical education. My wife helped a lot with physical education, but she's currently 7 months pregnant almost, so she hasn't been helping much in that area. We do the singing every morning. They learn new songs. We teach them new songs. We do have a music program that I haven't started anybody in yet, but we're doing what we can, shorthanded. Yes, my sister-in-law, Joni, does the art class for them all, and she does an excellent job. And I am so happy. She has two different classes, and she has a regular class and then an advanced class, and there are some pretty good artists down there now. I believe when we started, we had, 9 children, something like that. We have 26 now. All of them at this point, except for one, are church members of the local there in Zamorano.
Do they have to be church members?
No. We have one that is from a neighboring community, and his father took him out of the public school and said, begged us to take him because he didn't want his child in the public school anymore. We've actually had several that some of them left since then, since they entered. But
what is your school year? Is it all year long? 9 months?
We follow a U.S. school year pretty much, except that we have to, according to Honduran law, fill 200 days. The accreditation works. This whole system of the ACE was set up for missionaries in other countries who live in other countries. And they have an agreement. The publishing house has an agreement with Lighthouse Academy in Tennessee, it was, Darren, I think, Tennessee. And once a child reaches 10th grade, they can be dual enrolled in the Lighthouse Academy. And what that means is the Lighthouse Academy opens a file, and you have to send all of the paperwork, tests, and everything that they do. and they keep a file in their archives. That's that, and when you finish 12th grade, all of the credits worth, they give a diploma from Lighthouse Academy in Tennessee. And according to Darren, when he checked it out, Lighthouse Academy is part of the Southeastern Universities Association, so it's accepted anywhere in the U.S. and most of the world. The curriculum is completely based on King James Bible. Well, when Marlene was down there last time, we discussed the possibility of developing a Book of Mormon reading pace. And I don't know where that's going to go. It's a lot of work, I know. But like I said, we have visiting ministry. We give them 15, 20 minutes every morning if they're there. They can come and give a talk. I do sometimes. So we do what we can.
Is it a tuition-based program?
Yes, it is. The running costs right now of a student in the school for basic materials is $20 a month. What? It overall covers everything. I believe the last time I saw a number on it, it was like 57%.
And what's the expected extent of education for a child in Honduras outside of the middle school?
On paper or in reality?
Well, how far
until the typical Honduran probably goes through sixth grade, would be the average, I would guess. Well, if they go through 12th grade, they then get the U.S. diploma, which is accepted in the Honduran universities. But we've had several students now that came to us from the public school, and we do a diagnostics test when they come in, and I've yet to see one that went through 6th grade that could get into 3rd grade math. They didn't know how to divide at all, and very little multiplication. There are two others besides me. My mother has her own class, and we switch off sometimes. For one person working alone, it would be hard-pressed to handle more than 10 students, depending on the grade level. First, second grade requires heavy reading to the teacher. And so first, second graders, you probably only do 6 or 7 students per teacher.
How many content areas do you teach? Like, say, a first and second grade, how many content areas do you
have? First grade, there are 5 subject matters. In second grade, they start literature, and generally we do Bible reading and Spanish, which the Spanish only goes through 7 grade levels at this time, and Bible reading is only 4 grade levels.
Year-round?
200 days of school year we have, starting September. Teach people. Jay and I discussed this in length when he was down, and I explained to him that in reality, the system that the publishing house has set up, they have a procedures manual. It's about that thick, and if you learn that, you know how to run the school. It's really not that difficult. There's very little outside of that that a person has to know. Most everything else is learned by experience. And I told him, if there was interest that some local wanted to start, or a group of families wanted to start this for their children, I would be willing to help. Because I believe that this is the future for our children. Yes, they can if they have the funds. There is two different universities in Honduras. There's three if you count the teacher university for teachers.
But they can come here, right?
Oh, yes. The Lighthouse Academy of Diploma is accepted in most of the world. I mean...
And how many countries is this in?
There are 187 countries that use the ACE curriculum. Paraguay, this year, 2010 school year, signed a contract with ACE Publishing House to use the ACE curriculum in their public schools. And so it is growing by leaps and bounds. The one thing I really like about the material, after using it for many years now, is that every aspect of the learning is based around God. When it teaches you about science, every aspect, if you were to take a spider web, God is the center, and everything is connected to it. And all the subject matters, they do the same thing. More questions? What's your question? I bet it's really good. All right, then. I'm done.